It's time for Over There with Mirella Rostrofer. Mirella is our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. She is in snowy. Is all of Switzerland snowy, or just where you are? I'm calling you in Switzerland, but I'll ask the question in a minute. How about hi, Mirella? How are you? Is it snowy everywhere, or just particularly in your area?
Hi, Jill. Well, large part of Switzerland are snowy, but not everywhere. Not the bigger cities, and not the certain parts like the Italian part that is more in the south. But otherwise, I think one can describe Switzerland right now as a snowy country, which looks beautiful, by the way. But today I had in mind to have a little conversation about Novak Djokovic, the number one tennis player in the world. I thought while at the beginning, when an entire story was developing around him and the tennis tournament in Australia, I didn't pay, frankly speaking, so much attention, but it became such a headline on all of our European papers that I thought it was worth it to have a look into this story. So Novak Djokovic, as I said, is ranked right now the number one tennis player in the world. He's 34. And he comes from Serbia. That in itself is also a very important detail, because Serbia, for good or bad reasons, has always had a kind of a difficult relationship with Europe. Of course, during the war, it became also a little bit the bad student in the European Union construction, and it is still something that Serbs feel very deeply about, and that is maybe also one of the factor why they are so proud of Novak Djokovic. It's because he gives another image of their country. He gives the image of a successful and powerful, at least in his field, man. And most of Serbia is really proud of him, including its president and leadership. That made, unfortunately, the story around him right now even more complicated. I think to give just a little basic story about Djokovic, it's about entering Australia with a visa for the Australian Open that he won many, many times. And for which he obtained an exemption, meaning that while he was unvaccinated, he was still allowed to enter the country. And the problem is that he has been detained at the border for not fulfilling the conditions to be able to enter the country. Accordingly, his visa has been revoked in the middle of the night, and he was then put in detention in an hotel where other immigrants or asylum seekers are also waiting for decisions to be made. That came, of course, as a big shock to his country people, including the president and certainly his family. And Djokovic fought back by sending his lawyers to court on Monday. To the surprise of all the media, the court overturned the decision, but only because of a procedural mistake. And this is where the next issue lies, because while there has been, according to the judge, some kind of mistake in how the entire affair was dealt with, there is still a problem with his admission in the country, because it seems that certain miscommunication and certain facts were just not correctly handled. So why all of this circus? Well, the first point is probably because he's unvaccinated, which is a problem for many Australian citizens, because for more than a year, Australians were not allowed to enter their own country, not even for important moments in life like funerals or birth, or there was absolutely no exception, and they were extremely strict with their rules. So they just feel that they have been handled in a way that Djokovic has been able to just ignore. The second point is that Novak Djokovic has a problem sometimes with the truth, and seems to find ways around in order to get what he wants, and this is also perceived from the public as something that is not acceptable. An example for that is that in his entry form for Australia, he seems, and this is to be taken with caution because it all comes from different sources, but as we know, it's not always, everything is not very precise. But it looks like at the question of knowing if he traveled anywhere in the last 14 days before departure, he answered no, which seems to not be true, as he was spotted in Spain during those 14 days. This is actually a question that every custom borders right now ask you when you travel because of COVID. Most important question is to know if the person has been traveling in countries that are deemed dangerous. Another point, of course, is his family, as they have a very specific sense for public relations. And one example of that is, for example, his father comparing him to Jesus and the way he was persecuted. That has been in all the papers, and one could also hear him in interviews making this kind of statements, and that has been perceived also by a large public as a disproportionate reaction to what was happening. I think that one should also not forget that while a lot can be discussed on Djokovic's behavior, of course, and one could agree or disagree with what he does, it is important to note that there has been a very weird communication between Australian officials in this debacle. It's literally a lack of communication. Maybe it was also because of the desire to have the number one player in Melbourne. at all cost, who knows? But the fact is that the different institution, the different people didn't really discuss that properly, and there has been miscommunication, and it could very well be that Djokovic thought that the exemption he was granted was absolutely legitimate. He also said that he got COVID the 16th of December, which would be the reason for an exemption, because Australian citizens are allowed to re-enter their country if they have been sick with COVID and they can prove it. Now, what seems to be the case also is that this rule does not apply to foreigners, and so the question is, how can that be that the Australia Tennis Association did not know about such a rule? This is very difficult to understand. So I would say that, besides the divisions between anti-vaccination people and vaccination people, there is also the issue of having had a terrible communication among authorities, and that Djokovic is certainly not the only responsible in how all of this unfolded. Of course, many people also couldn't help but notice that while he was deemed positive, he was also taking part in public events just after the 16th of December, and shaking hands and without mask and without distance, and with adults and children alike. And that is obviously perceived as maybe I would say a lack of respect from some part of the public. It's for other players also of the tournament. Let's not forget also the psychological impact of such a story. It's frustrating to have such a distraction, and it is honestly difficult for everybody to really concentrate in a time where everything seems to be so much of a heated discussion, and by no means just objective. As a conclusion, one could also see here the end of a brilliant career, considering that after the Australian Open, they are also following tournaments, and that they are taking place in countries like the United States or France. I would just take those two examples. The United States require, for example, from all foreigners to be vaccinated to even be able to board a plane, except for US citizens or legal permanent citizens, and exemptions are extremely rare and difficult to obtain if there are no extremely good reasons for it. France would be no problem to travel to, even without being vaccinated, but then the person would have to have a vaccination in order to enter a training facility, so that would not help to go to France and not being able to train. So all in all, there is a time for big decision for the current number one tennis player in the world. And I would just add and conclude with the hope that no matter what happens, if he stays or if he leaves, that this is not going to leave a too bigger scar in the tennis world, because so many divisions are taking place in every field and everywhere and in every country. And it would be a real pity to see that sport is following this unfortunate trend.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostroffer, over there.
My pleasure.